T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Live, local, logical. It's Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370. Join the conversation at 512-643-5483. Now, here are Cardle and Woolley.
Arg! Shiver me timbers. It's one of my favorite holidays today, Talk Like a Pirate Day.
Arr, she blows!
It is today.
You are full of insightful information.
So we should talk like a pirate for the whole show, you know.
So say that again. It's what day?
Talk like a pirate day.
Oh, my word.
And I found that out when I read Blondie and Dagwood this morning, because they were celebrating Talk Like a Pirate Day at J.C. Dither's company. And so it turns out, it's a whole holiday. By the way, the Queen's funeral is wrapping up. Mm-hmm. And it is interesting. The pageantry is amazing, and I did very much respect Queen Elizabeth. But what do you make of all this hoopla and the pomp and circumstance?
Well, I think the most interesting thing I heard over the weekend was how any government that's operating under a quote-unquote monarchy these days is essentially in name only, and that it's a lot of show and pomp and circumstance, which we're certainly seeing here in the funeral or with the funeral. But in terms of what is really effective or what's a reality in today's world, that's a far different thing in terms of government. But Queen Elizabeth, boy, what a historic run is. There's no other way to put it, I think, and a shining example for leaders probably going forward, certainly in this day and age of nasty politics here in the United States. But she was not a politician, but yet the best politician we're going to see in a long time.
I thought Sark was in some trouble earlier. Texas had a rough time in the first half with the UTSA Roadrunners.
Roadrunners came out fast.
It was all tied up at 17 at the half. Texas had to come back from a deficit, but it ended up number 21, Texas 41, UTSA 20. And then over on the other channel and here on Talk 1370, number 24, Texas A&M beat Miami 17-9 in a low-scoring affair, and Miami was ranked number 13, so Jimbo Fisher got back a measure of his respect after that. They do have some players out because of a curfew violation, so we'll follow that.
Good game for A&M over the weekend.
Big story in Austin right now is this report that came out from the police. It's an after-action report about the department's response to the May 2020 protests against police brutality. And I'm wondering how political this is from the standpoint of Chief Joe Chacone, who conceded that officers were underprepared and undertrained for the large-scale demonstrations that had occurred downtown. On the one hand, it might be hard for the police to prepare for something like that.
Never seen it before.
This is Austin, Texas. Mm-hmm. This is in the middle of civilization. This is not Watts area of Los Angeles. This is not Detroit or Chicago,
where you typically have month-to-month violence.
Well, but I'm thinking about some of the big things that have happened, the Watts riots in Los Angeles, the Democratic
convention up in Chicago.
Riots in Chicago. We don't have that in Austin, Texas.
Yeah.
And yet we did.
Here we did because of Austin being a bit, certainly for the state of Texas, it's the place to go, not only because it's the nation's capital, but because of our liberal leanings. And folks rallied around and destroyed property at the Capitol. It was a violent event, no
doubt about
it.
We like to think it's the nation's capital.
Did I say nation, state?
You did.
I beg your pardon.
Chacon says, I can promise you we will never see another response similar to the one in summer of 2020. Mm-hmm. Well, this was May 5, 2020.
Yep.
The Katie Hall story says that George Floyd was murdered, which was the official jury verdict.
The official autopsy said he died of an overdose.
Yeah. It said he had enough fentanyl in him to kill him.
Okay.
Of George Floyd, and of course, this is what led to all the riots in that whole summer, and particularly in Portland. And, you know, and you look at places like Portland, and you look at other places that had riots for other reasons, like Baltimore, Ferguson, Missouri. No police department in America was really ready for this. This is not something that happens any place except maybe Chicago and Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. So there's a couple of ways to look at this. One way to look at it is the way that this report has come out. They weren't prepared. They hadn't been talked. They hadn't talked about the beanbag rounds, the ones that were fired from shotguns filled with lead pellets, using that for crowd control. And some of those were outdated and didn't perform as they expected, as they said in this report. And, you know, the police were just tremendously unprepared for something of this magnitude.
And this isn't a very much an inward-looking local Austin police report. You got to remember, Lynn, the thing that came to my mind is this was the culmination or part of the culmination of a couple years' worth of nationwide Black Lives Matter, encouraged by the Democrats, certainly not condemned by anybody. This was something that had been festering for a long time and not appropriately handled by the party affiliated with the protesters, and that is what you end up having if it's not handled appropriately is a tragedy. That's what we had here.
And then the other way to look at it is that these were riots that were unprecedented.
Absolutely.
And what the way I look at it is this. We have a right in the United States of America. It's a First Amendment right to peaceably assemble.
Mm-hmm.
This was not peaceably assembled, although there were some interesting CNN-like statements in this report that sort of blew me away. But here's one thing. When the demonstration, this is from the article, when the demonstration ceased, substantial damage had been done. There were serious injuries to numerous community members, prompting urgent medical assistance, financial losses from looting and vandalism, the assertion that officers had been assaulted about 250 times. Officers deployed more than 700 beanbag rounds and baton strikes against the protesters, and more than 300 complaints were filed against the police. As you know, of course, Greg Kassar raised a lot of hell.
Mm-hmm.
And we have 21 indicted police officers. There's something in the executive summary.
Okay, of the report itself.
Of the report itself. Let me read it to you. Demonstrations occurring in Austin during the last week of May 2020 devolved into chaos. A relatively small number of individuals embedded within mostly peaceful crowds.
Oh my gosh! Absolute misinformation.
I wrote CNN out in the margin. I don't know. It didn't look like it was mostly peaceful.
It was violent and destructive and lawbreaking.
But let me finish the sentence. Embedded within mostly peaceful crowds committed criminal acts that ultimately escalated into rioting and looting within the city from May 29 to May 31 of 2020, based on expectations defined by previous experiences with hundreds of peaceful demonstrations and protests. The Austin Police Department was unprepared for a riot of this magnitude.
I mean, this is absolutely over the line, editorializing in a well, this official is the, this city is, report.
Well, okay, I was going to say this was not from the newspaper report.
I know.
This was from this is the executive summary. Editorializing is their report.
It's saying that it was mostly peaceful protests. That is an opinion. It was clearly, by definition, violent.
Well, wait a minute. Every protest pretty much starts out peaceful, doesn't it?
Perhaps.
Well, wait a minute. Two people show up. They start carrying signs. Then 500 people show up. Then 1,000. Then 2,000. Then somebody breaks a window. Then somebody goes inside a store and starts taking jewelry or whatever. I'm just talking not about ours, but in general. And then somebody overturns a car, sets something on fire. Somebody gets shot. It continues to escalate. It seems to me that's the way protests work.
Not necessarily all of them. There have been plenty of. We haven't seen any protests by the folks who believe that Donald Trump has been mistreated that have turned violent like this. That's a president of the United States who's been dragged through the mud, a public official who has been lied about and attacked and called names by the own Speaker of the House. Joe Biden, they've said he's a swamp creature, Nancy Pelosi said. I mean, these are things that clearly are a little bit different apples and oranges, but the level of today's discussion, Lynn, by one side is violent, by the other side, which is most red-blooded, God-fearing Americans, is not violent. So you are correct, Amundo, as usual. Things may start out peaceful, but this was intentionally designed to escalate as they were across the nation and turn violent, because they have.
Well, you say intentionally designed to turn violent.
Yeah, this that's what Black Lives Matter is.
This is what happens when there is a mob.
Mm-hmm.
And when the mob has been fired up.
Yes.
Now, remember what would the left say about January 6th, for example? Why would Trump supporters do what they did? Part of it was they weren't all Trump supporters. Part of it was that it was a mob mentality. And yep, that's what we had in Austin. And when you have people breaking windows, when you have people hurting other people, and the police come out and they didn't expect anything like this,
these
sorts of things. Yep. The police have to ramp it up as the riot has to with
Absolutely.
As the riot ramps up, the police has to ramp it up.
And
here is Chief Joe Chacone.
My closing message for this media availability is this. I can promise you that we will never see another response similar to the one in summer of 2020. The way that we have changed our policies, our training, and the cross training that we're doing across the department will ensure that we are better prepared, better trained, better equipped than we've ever been before, and that we will not see a repeat of the events of summer 2020.
I don't know what to think about that.
How come?
Well, because obviously you want to be better prepared. Obviously you want to have better equipment that doesn't malfunction. You know, like we're talking about with the beanbags and all that.
And be a better police force in the future based on what you've learned in the past.
And I understand that was the purpose of this particular report.
Okay.
But I think I would have liked to have heard something about we will not tolerate violent protests in downtown Austin with people throwing rocks, breaking windows, starting fires, hurting people, attacking police. That will not be tolerated in Austin, Texas.
We will not allow it. Great point.
All right, Talk 1370 is the right choice. It's Cardle and Woolley in the morning, and we'll be right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Just two rejected applicants for the Biden Ministry of Truth.
We choose truth over facts.
Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370.
Sound off on the day's top stories. 512-643-5483.
This is something that you must not do. Arg on Talk Like a Pirate Day. You don't send Joe Biden to a 60 Minutes interview. You don't do it.
No, you don't, unless you're not a seasoned pro and you somehow think that that's the best you can do and that there's no problem with the president himself. That's
listen
what
to the red
status
state,
of the White House staff
the
is
red
right
state
now.
Headline. Mm-hmm. Joe Biden delivers a mess of a 60 Minutes interview, leaves his handlers scrambling.
Yep. Not only them, but I think it's somewhat universal. The biggest thing that he declared was that the pandemic is over and that inflation is not has not spiked.
I don't know if that's the biggest thing that he declared. He said, and he did, was not ambiguous about it whatever, that if China invades Taiwan, we're sending the military.
And Pelley, the interviewer, squeezed him on that one. Would we send our U.S. citizens, boys and girls to defend? And the answer was yes.
All right. And then how about the nuclear weapons in Ukraine should our, comrade Vlad decide to use them? Let's take a listen to that one.
As Ukraine succeeds on the battlefield, Vladimir Putin is becoming embarrassed and pushed into a corner. And I wonder, Mr. President, what you would say to him if he is considering using chemical or tactical nuclear weapons.
Don't. It will change the face of war unlike anything since World War II.
And the consequences of that would be what? What would the U.S. response be?
Do you think I would tell you if I knew exactly what it would be? Of course I'm not going to tell you. It'll be consequential. They'll become more of a pariah in the world than they ever have been. And depending on the extent of what they do, will determine what response would occur.
Now, let me see if I've got this.
You.
Let me see if I've got this straight.
Yeah.
If Comrade Vlad decides to use nukes because he's backed into a corner, we will respond in kind. That's kind of what he's been saying, and that's what it sounded like there. On the other hand, if President Xi decides to send troops into Taiwan, we will respond there. Joe Biden just promised to get us very involved in two wars should world events get to that.
And it sounded to me eerily like his statements all the way through the initial invasion of Ukraine, where he was almost leading Putin as to where to go and what to do, telegraphing that there would be essentially no consequences.
And this thing about the pandemic being over, you can't say that. He's a Democrat. The pandemic lasts for the rest of our lives.
Exactly. Not a
Democrats don't want the pandemic to be over. That's the source of a lot of their power. An absolute disaster of an interview is what Red State calls it.
The pandemic is over. Inflation has not spiked. We will defend Taiwan. I mean,
Biden, inflation rate month to month was up just an inch. Reporter, you're not arguing 8.3%. 8.3% is good news.
And here we have cut 11, Lynn.
All right. Well, let me finish with Biden says, you're acting like all of a sudden, my God, it went to 8.2%. All right. Let's listen.
You're not arguing that 8.3 is good news.
No, I'm not saying it is good news, but it was 8.2 or 8.2 before. I mean, it's not you. I can make it sound like all of a sudden, my God, it went to 8.2%.
It's the highest inflation rate, Mr. President, in 40 years.
I got that. But guess what we are? We're in a position where for the last several months, it hasn't spiked. It has just barely, it's been basically even. And in the meantime, We created all these jobs, and prices have gone up, but they've come down for energy.
Okay, if I'm reading that right or hearing it right with my shell-like ears, inflation is terrible, says Biden, but it's not more terrible.
Well, what he's doing is trying to aggressively defend
the indefensible.
Exactly.
So he's trying to defend the indefensible.
It's just beyond compare, yes.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
And so now, it's going to be interesting to hear what Karine Jean-Pierre says on Talk Like a Pirate Day.
All week long.
Yeah. Talk 1370 is the right choice. Cardle and Woolley in the morning. We'll be back.
Logically discussing the issues Austin cares about. Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370. Join in 512-643-5483.
We have got three stories in the stack here, plus some amazing audio about immigration. Let's start with Paul Connor at Fox News. Jim, the headline, 50 migrants arrive at Vice President Kamala Harris's residence. Six more buses go to New York City. And that's basically the story there as this immigration issue just goes crazy.
And Governor Ron DeSantis in Florida says he's going to ship a lot more to Martha's Vineyard, where it's an island to itself, literally, and it has a private public runway go in there. So the immigration is the issue of the week.
Hold on. Do you have no compassion for the fine people of Martha's Vineyard? They had trouble with 48, wasn't it? 48, 50, something like that?
A whopping 48,
DeSantis
yes.
is saying thousands more?
That's an equal percentage to what we're experiencing on the southern border when nobody else has seemed to care. And I'm just glad that somebody's been listening to Woolley for the last couple months, where you yourself have been saying, heck yeah, we ought to bus them, ship them, deport them, send them by airfare in the dark of night like the Biden administration is doing to Berkeley and Chicago and Martha's Vineyard. And boy, is
and the
it
third
got their
story,
attention.
New York City wants to relocate
yes.
the migrants bussed in from Texas. They want to send those to Florida. This is out of the Tennessee Star. A Deborah Hines story. New York City officials are thinking about flying illegal immigrants out of the Big Apple to Florida after officials in Texas bust 11,000 border crossers to the sanctuary city.
Whoa.
And that's out of the Daily Mail.
Is this the same New York City that's a sanctuary city that's been saying they would welcome and have open arms and
here's the funny thing.
So forth?
Mayor Eric Adams told reporters this week that New York City's shelters are at a breaking point. Now, listen to this.
Oh,
this is
Pete's
a quote.
Sakes.
In this new and unforeseen reality where we expect thousands more to arrive every week, the city's system is nearing its breaking point. They have a mere fraction.
My rear end. Yeah,
you of what we deal with.
You
want
to see
Texas.
A breaking point? Go to Del Rio, a city of 35,000, where they've got 350,000 mm-hmm. illegal immigrants last
All right,
year.
Let's go to DeSantis. He held a briefing at about the national uproar about flying those 50 illegals into mm-hmm. Martha's Vineyard. And DeSantis was talking about Biden calling his cabinet to address the problem of illegals at Martha's Vineyard.
I also was a little bit perplexed when I heard that the president is scrambling to get his cabinet together to try to address the fact that you have governors who are helping to relocate illegal aliens to sanctuary cities. Now, he didn't scramble to get his cabinet together when we had millions of people illegally pouring across the southern border. He didn't scramble to get his cabinet together when you had 53 migrants die in some trailer in Texas because they were neglected by the federal government. You didn't see him scramble to get his cabinet together when we had Americans that were victimized by criminal aliens that he led across the border. You didn't see him scramble to get his cabinet together when we hit record fentanyl deaths, which that fentanyl is coming across his open border.
And then DeSantis talked about Biden's failure and subsequent media coverage when it mattered most.
At the end of the day, this is a massive policy failure by the president. This is a massive and intentional policy that is causing huge amount of damage all across the country, and it's all rooted in a failure to take care that the laws are faithfully executed and to fulfill his oath of office. And so instead of scrambling and worrying about a bunch of rich people and having 50, and oh, by the way, they already bust them out. They're gone. They said we want everyone. No one's illegal. And they're gone within 48 hours. And so why not actually look at what's going on? There were more Acela corporate journalists in Martha's Vineyard today than have ever gone down to the southern border to look what's going on. Why don't you go down there and look what some of those communities have to deal with every day?
You know, he's right about one thing. You never see a CNN report from the border of Texas.
No.
Now, maybe they've been there and done it, but I'm just going to say I haven't seen it. And like you try to check in on MSNBC, I try to watch as much CNN as my stomach will take.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes it's about 3 minutes, especially if Cooper is on.
We have no border. We have no border right now.
But Jim,
it's an open border, and they're telling
us. But Jim, the mainstream media thought it appropriate to go and cover the plight of the poor rich people at Martha's Vineyard.
And the hypocritical lying Democrats who say it's a stunt and that it's a political ploy. This is a crisis situation, folks. You better wake up and
smell
the coffee.
All right, Charlie Crist is responding to DeSantis' comments that we just played. And Charlie Crist, who is an ex-Republican, never really was a Republican, is a far-left Democrat now, running against DeSantis, accuses DeSantis of kidnapping.
I don't know what that gibberish even means. All I do know is this governor chartered two planes from Texas, kidnaps 50 people, ships them off to Massachusetts. They have no idea where they are. There's children on the plane with them. This inhumane, unconscionable act is disgusting. And it's embarrassing to have a governor named DeSantis in the Sunshine State of Florida today. It's appalling. How does somebody do that? And how does he use state funds to do that? I mean, clearly this is a political stunt, Allison. And I just can't believe the guy's doing it. And that's why I think the Department of Justice needs to look into it.
The Department of Justice needs to look into it.
Kidnapping, inhumane, incomprehensible. I mean, if somebody that suffers from all those three misnomers gets to go to Martha's Vineyard, let me get a ticket on that one. This is an absolute disgusting display of absolute disengagement from reality. For somebody to say that it's inhumane for an illegal immigrant to be sent from the border of South Texas to New York City, the biggest, brightest, best city in America, for El Paso to be busing people to Chicago or wherever they want to go in the nation. They are taking care, sending these illegal immigrants to where they want to go. I don't see how Americans, the more the Democrats talk about it, the more Americans are going to understand the insanity.
Mm-hmm. You just made me not like the policy again. We're taking illegal aliens exactly where they want to go. Why not to the land of porterhouses and caviar and filet mignon?
We're a darn travel agency is what our federal government's become. It's sick.
Yeah, and you know, before Abbott kidnapped those illegals and before DeSantis kidnapped them, Biden was busy kidnapping them.
And the point is, Lynn, how about in America we actually enforce our laws? Why in God's name, as Joe Biden would say, are we having to have a discussion about enforcing our nation's own laws?
Okay, not a joke. Trump was in Ohio.
Yeah.
And he said the southern border has been completely erased. You knew Trump was going to get involved.
Bloodthirsty criminals are laying waste to Democrat-run cities. The southern border has been completely erased. We no longer have a border. Think of it. 2 years ago, we had the strongest border in the history of our country. We no longer have a border. Our country is being invaded. It's an invasion by millions of illegal aliens from all over the planet. And left-wing sickos are pumping toxic anti-American propaganda into the minds of our beautiful youth. They're destroying our youth. The choice this November is simple. If you want to continue this national catastrophe, vote for the radical left Democrats. Do it. Go ahead. You won't have a country left. If you want to stop the destruction of America and really reinvigorate that good old-fashioned American dream, you must vote Republican. Have to do it.
It just is uplifting to hear Trump talk. I don't know. I don't always agree with Trump. I think Trump is too bombastic sometimes and too full of vengeance and all of that.
Absolutely.
But my gosh, you play a clip of Biden and then play a clip of Trump right after. What a juxtaposition.
No joke. As Joe Biden is wont to say, used to be, we can do it in a soft whispering tone. Now it's no joke, as if, you know, people don't understand that he's just a senile old man spouting lines like that repeatedly, and that one too. Thank you, Casey. But I'm telling you, Lynn, the cavalry is coming. It's going to be nasty. Everybody's starting to see all these commercials on television. It's going to get worse, but we got to keep focused on the positive and turning out and absolutely and actually taking our country.
Well, back. You say it's going to get worse. Yep. Maybe it ought to get worse. That's the topic of a Kurt Schlichter story. And if you can say it right, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing
that's
it right.
Right.
But it's in Town Hall. I want to talk about it when we come back, because it might be the ticket to saving America, but you might have to destroy the country in order to save it. We'll be right back on Cardle and Woolley.
Live, local, and taking your calls at 512-643-5483. It's Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370.
And, you know, I like to have a little mystery in a show, so I just think I'll announce something and then people have to tune in later. I think I'm going to declare my prepositions today.
Prepositions as in terms of what?
Figure of speech. Everybody knows my pronouns. I have not declared my prepositions. I have not declared my adjectives.
Well,
but one of these days, I'm going to do that, and I maybe even get around to nouns. I'm not really sure. Now,
is your home loan identifying as a student loan now?
No, I
so
do have certain preferred gerund phrases that I like I like to use those instead of participle phrases. But we'll get to that at some point.
What's your pronouns? Refresh our memory.
All right. Them and thar.
Okay.
Maybe we can get things to be even worse, says Kurt Schlichter of Town Hall.
Mm-hmm.
This is interesting, and let's flesh it out a little bit. Let me give you the beginning of his column. More economic hardship, increased crime, further humiliations of America at the hands of 7th century savages. You know, business as usual under President Gumby.
Mm.
Should we patriots try to save these idiots from themselves and give them an out, or let the natural consequences of their failures build into critical mass that brings on a backlash that brings us the power we need to destroy their Marxist dreams? I'll mention one thing here before I let you comment on that, and that was last night I had a chance to read the new Imprimis, and it's one of Kevin Roberts's employees wrote it at the Heritage Foundation. And it's about the new wokeness in the American military system. If you want to sleep well tonight, I suggest you don't read it.
Uh-huh.
But this country is in trouble. And what he's talking about is, do we let Biden go the route of Jimmy Carter, where things get so absolutely bad that the American people want to throw the bums out and install the opposite party?
I think it's going to go there, whether we want that to happen or not. To some extent, you cannot stop the course of history here, and Biden and the Democrats have a full head of steam of destruction and classroom wokeism and mama bears being fearful for their lives in their downtown streets and victimhood happening with the border. All that is happening, but on the other hand, Lynn, you do have to be for something and have people with an idea of them voting for something, a better future, for instance, and that's what the Republicans are going to be trying to illustrate and lay out. However, in the same breath, what you're going to have is Joe Biden continuing to go out there and say this word fascism and Donald Trump and vote for us because you hate us less than you hate the other guys. That is not the ever been proven as a winning strategy, where you criticize your constituents and think that they're going to support you. So it's an interesting question.
Points. Do you think we should let the Democrats succeed in screwing up the country to the point where the Democrats will be thrown out. Now, as Schleister says, this is like a conservative version of the Cloward-Piven strategy. And you know, I've written columns on the Cloward-Piven strategy.
Good for you. Yes.
Go ahead.
A phrase of which I think most Americans don't understand, but it is.
Cloward and Piven were married. They were two professors at Columbia, as I recall. Mm-hmm. They said, let's make this country so miserable. Let's overtax our welfare system. Let's do everything we can to make this country as miserable as possible. Then we will dissolve the present system. We'll be able to come back, get rid of the capitalistic system, and we can install a socialist, Marxist form of government.
And then they laid out steps of how to accomplish that.
Yeah, they did. But here's one of Schleister's best line in this entire thing is, you let Democrats hit the bottom, right?
Yep.
He says, one such uncertain premise is that there is a bottom for the left. You would think having five-year-old kids have sex change operations would be a bottom for any party, but this party has proven there's no lowness to which they cannot descend.
So sick and so true.
Talk 1370 is the right choice. It's Cardle and Woolley in the morning, and we'll be back momentarily, so fear not.
Live, local, logical. It's Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370. Join the conversation at 512-643-5483. Now, here are Cardle and Woolley.
It is a fine Monday in the nation's 10th largest city, and you've tuned in to Talk 1370. It's the right choice. I'm Lynn Woolley. My partner is Jim Cardle. Together, we're Cardle and Woolley, and you can listen to us on talk1370.com, on the Odyssey app, and just ask your smart speaker to play Talk 1370. Jim, a little research goes a long way, and someone by the name of Natalia Mittelstadt at Just the News did a story about election deniers. Remember, the evil MAGA election deniers are anti-American, and they're white supremacists and yada, 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 that are President Biden told us the other day in his red speech.
Oh, you mean like Charlie Rangel and...
Well, that's the story here. It's in your stack if you want to look it up. All right. Okay, so Democrats and their media allies have sought to stigmatize Republicans, writes Ms. Mittelstadt, concerned about 2020 voting irregularities, yet scores of leading Democrats have raised concerns about elections, but only when they are run by Republicans. This is since 2000. Guess how many she came up with?
82.
You are correct.
Yep. That's how
82
many there were.
Democrats have complained about elections being stolen, but all of those elections that were so-called stolen were stolen by Republicans from Democrats. When it happens the other way around, that's not a story.
Let me illustrate your point, Lynn. Do you know Benny Thompson, the current chairman of the committee investigating Donald Trump's riot on the Capitol? Benny Thompson and dozens of Democrat congressmen refused to go to Donald Trump's inauguration. They refused to go because why? It was stolen. It was illegitimate. It was non-valid. They were the ones who created all this falderal, not the opposition.
Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton has questioned, if not outright denied, the outcomes of the elections of 2000, 2004, 2016, as well as the 2018 Georgia gubernatorial election.
Yep.
Bill Clinton said regarding the 2000 presidential election, the only way Republicans can win was to stop the voting in Florida. There is no doubt in my mind, he said, this is Jimmy Carter, that Al Gore is the elected president. When Kamala Harris was still a California senator, she said this, let's say this loud and clear, without voter suppression, Stacey Abrams would be the governor of Georgia. When former President Obama was an Illinois senator, he said not every vote was being counted in the 2000 presidential election. Climate czar John Kerry said following his defeat in '04 that too many people were denied their right to vote. Too many who tried to vote were intimidated. My guess is not one single person was intimidated.
Well, let me give you an update. In the state of Georgia, since the 2020 election of one Joe Biden, Georgia has passed a supposedly voter suppression law by Republicans that was going to stop people from voting, intimidate them. This is what the Republicans passed. But you know what actually happened in reality? 500,000, 400,000 to 500,000 more voters in Georgia actually voted this last primary. It's all a bunch of bunk. It's all a boondoggle by the left, and the Democrats know it. That's why they have to shout it louder and louder. And Lord knows the mainstream media hadn't covered a penny of it.
Well, and very interestingly, Bill Maher is the guy that seems to be calling this out more than anybody else. Bill Maher, who is a confirmed leftist, or always has been.
Investigative journalist that he is, yes.
Well, he's doing a better job than
exactly
most of the
point.
Media.
Yes.
Here is Maher. This is on his latest edition of Real Time with Bill Maher on HBO. Maher says, keep your creative writing out of history books, and he comes up with a new word called presentism, and we'll let him explain it.
New rule, you can get creative with a novel, a TV show, or a movie, but history books, that's not supposed to be fan fiction. How we teach our kids history has become a big controversy these days, with liberals accusing conservatives of wanting to whitewash the past, and sometimes that's true, sometimes they do. But plenty of liberals also want to abuse history to control the present. And last month, a scholar named James Sweet caught hell for calling them out for doing just that. He criticized a phenomenon known as presentism, which means judging everyone in the past by the standards of the present. It's the belief that people who lived 100 or 500 or 1,000 years ago really should have known better. Which is so stupid. It's like getting mad at yourself for not knowing what you know now when you were 10. Stupid me, spending all that time raising sea monkeys. And
you know, I was so sorely tempted through much of my childhood to order me that little sea monkey package that he's talking about there.
Yeah, you and me and millions of other Americans. And did you hear the volume of laughter there?
I did, and I'm wondering who goes to his show. And I'm wondering how many of them understood the sea monkey reference, but it very interesting. Now, what he's saying there is that presentism is expecting people who lived 300-400 years ago to understand modern wokeness even after they've been buried for over two centuries.
That doesn't seem logical to me, Lynn Woolley.
Well, what is logical about the left?
A good question.
It's not much.
Nothing today.
All right, so here is Maher excoriating liberals for holding historical figures to modern-day woke standards.
Who doesn't have moments from your past that make you cringe? Who hasn't said, I can't believe I said that? I can't believe I wore that. I can't believe I thought that. I can't believe I did that. You ate dirt. You wanted to be a Ghostbuster. You shoplifted gum. You tried to be a white breakdancer. You wanted to marry Scott Baio. I read Ayn Rand. I smoked. I was into numerology. Yes, because we hadn't then grown into the persons we would become. And humanity writ large is just the collective version of that.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Do you have any moments in your life that you think about and cringe?
Oh, heavens yes. Everybody does.
I think we all do.
Of course.
But I think this is very interesting. We've said this for a long time, and now Maher has come up with a word, and it's called presentism. Presentism is why we've gone out and torn down all the statues. Presentism is why Fort Hood is about to be Fort Cavazos or something like that.
Is it the reason why we've taken prayer out of the classroom and inserted drag queen shows, perhaps?
No, I think that's a different issue.
That's an update of the latest?
Yeah, that's a different issue. But presentism is very specific. It is about expecting George Washington to have Bill Clinton's political standards.
That's impossible.
Of course it's impossible, but not to the idiotic left. And we're going to rename all of our army posts that are named after people that the left thinks should have known better 100 years ago. Well, it's going to happen, so your body will be dead at some point.
You and I are
here is Marr defending Columbus. He says he was like other people of his time.
Did Columbus commit atrocities? Of course. But people back then were generally atrocious. Everybody who could afford one had a slave, including people of color. The way people talk about slavery these days, you'd think it was a uniquely American thing that we invented in 1619. But slavery throughout history has been the rule, not the exception. The Sumerians, the Egyptians, the Greeks, Romans, the Arabs, British, the early Americans, all the way up through R. Kelly. The Holy Bible is practically an owner's manual for slaveholders. The word slave comes from Slav, because so many Slavic people were enslaved, and they're as white as the Hallmark Channel.
And that got a nice laugh.
He was having fun.
And then Marr gets serious. He exposes some hard facts. Mm-hmm. And then Marr explains woke thinking.
Who do you think gathered the slaves from the interior of Africa to sell to slave traders? Africans, who also kept their own slaves. We're a species prone to making others of our species our bitch. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Humans are not good people. And the capacity for cruelty is a human thing, not a white thing. That's the truth, even though it doesn't jibe with the current narrative. But in today's world, when truth conflicts with narrative, it's the truth that has to apologize. Being woke is like a magic moral time machine where you judge everybody against what you imagine you would have done in 1066, and you always win.
Yeah, you know, I grew up thinking that the default position of humanity was honesty. Because my parents
were... Because you're honest.
My parents were honest. I didn't have any brothers and sisters. I grew up in a household where my parents were A, totally dependent, B, loved each other, C, were loyal to each other, D, made me the lead thing in their lives after I was born.
That's
I became their number one
is.
Thing.
You didn't know any better.
My father would not have cheated anybody if his life depended on it, and I learned from watching two good people. We don't have those families anymore. Let's take a quick call from Stephen. Stephen, good morning.
Good morning, fellas.
Morning, sir.
Well, I wanted to disarm an argument that I see rising up over and over again. And Saturday morning, CBS had a TV expose on the rise of the crazy MAGA people showing up to school boards and wanting to ban books.
Oh.
And now they're trying to say that we're a bunch of book banners, and they save the best for last. In their expose, they say that we want to ban classics like To Kill a Mockingbird or The Grapes of Wrath. Well, there was Terry Schilling. I heard him this weekend explaining why they keep bringing up that parents are trying to ban To Kill a Mockingbird. And those parents are woke leftists. And their reason for wanting to ban To Kill a Mockingbird is because Atticus Finch portrays the white savior complex. And they don't want that. So they're lumping that in there, trying to use that to paint with a broad brush that anybody who wants to ban pornography and grooming materials from our school libraries is a bad guy.
And that's just what Bill Maher said that I thought was interesting. The truth has to be made a lie, essentially what you're saying. Create the victimhood, create a good guy as a bad guy.
Again, Stephen, as Kurt Schliester said, we want to let the left hit bottom, but we're not sure that for the left that there is a bottom.
You're- your daily recommended allowance of logic. It's Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370. Join in, 512-643-5483.
Well, I've got a bulletin to practically nobody here on Talk Like a Pirate Day. ARG, Austin Home Sales. Austin Home Sales drop as fewer people can afford to live here, according to an industry measure.
What would that industry measure be? I guess it's our Austin.
Well, there's a median.
Home Builders Association. Yes.
Well, there's a median, and let me see. What was the median? Here we go. The median in the metro area in which half of the homes sold for more than this amount and half sold for less came in at $496,039. That's the median. Not even close to what a house would be worth out in the affluent suburbs.
Yeah.
But for somebody like myself that's poor and lives paycheck to paycheck, that's a lot of money. So not very many people can come into Austin to be a plumber. Mm-hmm. Well, wait a minute. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe plumbers make a lot. I'm sure they do. Good ones make a lot of money. I'm just trying to think of something here. Certified public accountant come into Austin and open up a business and make that kind of money to have this kind of house payment? Can somebody come in and open up a restaurant or a bakery or something like that and expect to be able to buy a house in Austin?
If they're hardworking and they've identified a niche in their market that's going to be successful, but
they'll be able to come up with over $500,000. In a loan and pay what, a $4,000 or $5,000 a month house payment?
Yep. And if you're a
you show me somebody that can do that. I don't know very many people. Now you run in the circles that I don't, though. I mean,
well, no, I'm not disagreeing with your challenge here. This is big numbers and a lot of money that you're involved on a month to month basis for a mortgage. But really, what we're looking at here, whether it's over in Taylor and Samsung putting all these plants in, Oracle's got new people over in East Austin. You've got Facebook, Apple, and Google all downtown. WeWork, all these major companies, Lynn, are coming in, and they're offering significant bonuses.
Okay, I've
heard
fine.
$100,000 bonuses. You put that down on a $500,000 house, your monthly nut's going to come down quite a bit. Now, the big concern is that interest rates are going up in the future. I got a note for you while we're going to be in D.C. for a good part of the rest of the week. The Federal Reserve's meeting on Wednesday. They're going to announce probably a 7.75% increase. I see that tomorrow the Commerce Department's going to release their residential construction numbers. We're going to have a big, busy week seeing the state of the economy.
I think the Federal Reserve should have met today. I can just hear the meeting on Talk Like a Pirate Day. Well, let's talk about inflation. Arg!
You know, we saw Jerome Powell last time.
I know we
were up there while you were chasing Bernie Sanders.
About 30% of homes for sale in the metro area were affordable for a family earning the median regional income of about $110,000 annually. That means 70% of the homes were not.
Mm-hmm.
Not affordable. And one of the things in this report is that they're not building cheap homes in Austin. They're building high-end homes.
And there, you look at the price per square foot, it's just phenomenal, which is something that folks who've been active buying a home in their lifetime, but certainly in the last 10 years, the price per square foot has doubled and tripled and quadrupled sometimes, certainly for new construction. But, Lynn,
what you're explaining
here is we don't understand how lucky we've got it in Austin. A lot of other cities aren't going through this.
I don't think we're all that
increase.
I don't think this report indicates that we're all that lucky. Yeah, we're lucky in Austin if we're rich.
If we're not
rich, we're not going to buy a house. Within Austin city limits, Jim, home sales in August plunged 30% to 858 sales. Because the median price, or I will say as the median price, soared to $555,000, and that was up 3.6% compared with August of last year, and it set a monthly record. So, yeah, there are people that's good for, but it's not good for somebody
trying to
come into Austin and buy a home.
And I think that bears repeating because it's one of the most important things inside the Austin city limit. Home sales have plunged 30%. That's really concerning.
So let me ask you this. Where does this go? It's not sustainable, in my opinion.
The What, the decline in home sales or the increase in prices?
The increase in prices.
They're hand in glove, one.
I've never lived in a time, never, and I'm talking about since Joe Biden came into office, I have never lived in a time when everything cost so much more than you would expect, and yet so many people are not getting raises.
Well, I've got an answer to that as an economist and a student of Woolley's School of Logic. Let's talk about it after this bottom of the hour.
Oh, it's going to take that long?
Well, we don't have enough time
to
get into
it. You've got 10 seconds?
That's not enough.
All right.
Plus, I want you to comment on it as well.
Talk 1370 is the right choice. Yes, I am a well-known economist. Talk 1370 is the right choice, and you know my advice. If you don't have any money, don't spend it. We'll be right back.
You need to buy Lynn some lunch, Jim.
Keeping Austin logical, it's Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370. Join the conversation, 512-643-5483.
All right, Mr. Cardle is going to talk about inflation. First, let's listen to Mr. Biden talk about inflation on 60 Minutes.
You're not arguing that 8.3 is good news.
No, I'm not saying it is good news, but it was 8.2 or 8.2 before. I mean, it's not, I can make it sound like all of a sudden, my God, it went to 8.2%.
It's the highest inflation rate, Mr. President, in 40 years.
I got that. But guess what we are? We're in a position where for the last several months, it hasn't spiked. It has just barely, it's been basically even. And in the meantime, we created all these jobs and prices have gone up, but they've come down for energy.
Uh-huh.
Here's the deal, Lynn Woolley. As long in politics, as long as you're defending and explaining yourself, you are going backwards. That was Joe Biden, first of all, going backwards by explaining, second of all, not doing a very good job of it, and third of all, not having the right disposition to give a forceful statement of how he has understanding of the problem as opposed to just being an elitist Democrat from the East Coast. What you're talking about here, though, when it comes to these housing sales in Austin, what we have going on here with Tesla, with Oracle, Facebook, Google, Apple, have you ever heard of Samsung, what they're putting out up in the little town of Taylor? We have got an economic engine that's already built in Austin. So that's why these home sales are going to continue to be stronger in Austin and Central Texas than the rest of the country. But when the Austin Board of Realtors comes out and says that sales are down 30% August to August, year over year, I don't care what the price is, that's going to mean that some economic activity is slowing down. So on the one hand, the glass is half full. The other hand, the glass is half empty. But we in Austin do have a better situation than a lot of folks around the country.
All right, let's take a...
Joe Biden doesn't understand it.
Let's take a $300,000 house.
Yes.
Now, take that $300,000 house and put it on the market, say, 3 or 4 years ago, and it might sit there for a while, but you'd eventually find a buyer that could come in and afford $300,000.
This is good.
Now, great. That same house today is worth $500,000.
Yep.
So when somebody comes in from one of these places like you're talking about that pays the big salaries, Google or Tesla or somebody like that, and can afford to do that, that's fine.
Yep.
Most people can't afford to do that. So a lot of people who want that house or a house like it but actually shouldn't be in it find a way to get through. They do it. They struggle.
Sometimes.
What we are seeing is a great amount of debt being built up for something that is very likely at some point in the future to nosedive.
What if
you go in and you buy a $300,000 house, but you pay $500,000 for it, and you go on a 30-year mortgage? And let's say you have a fixed interest rate of, what, 5%, something like that, whatever it is now, because you can't get the 2 and 3% interest rates
anymore.
Mortgage
rates have doubled under Joe Biden. They're up to 6.35.
Okay, so 6.35.
Yeah.
And then let's say 5 years goes by and a Republican administration actually does the right thing and gets inflation down and prices go down and suddenly your house is worth $350,000, but you still owe $450,000 on it.
Well, inflation going down and prices of homes going down usually is is not...
We're not in usual times.
Hand in glove or how things work. No. Yeah, you're the pessimist, and you and I have been talking about this for years. It is an absolute phenomenon, what we're seeing in Austin right now.
I'm not a pessimist. I've always felt that the United States was a country that could get through anything because we are the United States.
Yep.
But now we're not the United States. Mm-hmm. We have a divisive president. We have a former president who was also divisive. Trump mm-hmm. is, Biden is.
Mm-hmm.
Trump was more correct about his divisiveness than Biden is. Biden's just spouting crap to try to get Democrats elected,
yep.
and I don't think it's going to work. But when you won't stop spending, and you never stop spending, you know, they say things come in threes.
Okay.
So first we had the pandemic. All right, the pandemic comes in and roils the world economy, and I'll put the Ukraine war in with all that, all the things that are going on overseas as well.
And Dr. Fauci shuts down the nation.
Yeah, so you come in, you have the pandemic. Then the mm-hmm. next thing that happens is this wokeness hits a fever pitch. We start mm-hmm. tearing down statues. We start erasing people like George Washington and Christopher Columbus and now General Hood at Fort Hood and all mm-hmm. that. And this becomes a situation where the nation is morally going
Absolutely.
To hit a complete bottom. Everything
yep.
now, instead of without regard to race, color, or creed,
yep.
now everything in America is race, color, and creed. And they've added gender to that, which really means sex.
Well,
and then on top of that, do we hire a president that can help us get through these troubled waters? No, we hire a senile old fart who has absolutely no idea what he's doing or what woman he's holding hands with or what woman's shoulders he's fondling or hair he's running his fingers through at any given time,
which is why
we sometimes call him Grandpa Badfinger. But you can't have all these things going on in the world plus extreme wokeness plus absolutely stupid Marxist leadership. And so this country, if we're going to hit bottom, let's do it. Let's hit bottom so we can start moving up, because this country deserves better than the Democrats.
I agree with you. I think that's a fair assessment of where we are, and I think it's the assessment of tens of millions of Americans who are getting ready to go to the polls here in November. As Bill Maher said, you had that great clip. I'm going to keep it on my cell phone and replay it frequently. You have to abuse history in order to confuse and control the future. That was brilliantly said. It's exactly what's going on with the Democrat Party. The only problem is you used to be able to get away with that stuff, and a lot of folks wouldn't understand what you're saying. In this day and age, with so many independent media sources, and most importantly, with such a long and documented and extensive record of the Liberal Democrat Party lying through their teeth, weaponizing the FBI, wanting to destroy the classroom and our children, Americans understand the gig is up.
Don't ever, ever believe things can't get worse.
Oh, of course they can.
Can you Absolutely. Imagine? Can you imagine if the Democrats hold the House and the
No.
Senate and we elect Beto O'Rourke as governor
can't
of Texas?
Imagine.
Hell
yeah,
yes.
I know you can't imagine it, but I couldn't imagine Joe Biden ever being president. Speaking of Biden, here he is on the end of the pandemic from 60 Minutes.
Is the pandemic over?
The pandemic is over. We still have a problem with COVID. We're still doing a lot of work on it. But the pandemic is over.
Okay, help me with this. I thought COVID was the pandemic.
Well, the COVID.
So what is he saying? We still have a little bit of COVID, but it's not a pandemic. Is that what he's saying?
Uh-huh. Like the seasonal flu. It goes
around and exists
and adapts.
What? Did he get that statement and that contention approved by Randy Weingarten?
A good question.
How are we going to shut down schools if there's no pandemic? How are we going to force people to socially distance? How are we going to make people wear masks? How are we going to make people work from home?
And be victims that they are afraid of venturing into the public. Yeah, exactly. It's not a positive development from some perspectives if you're a member of the far left.
If you're a Marxist and you're in government and you want to control the people, the pandemic was your oyster.
And this is going to be interesting to see, Lynn, because I heard last week that Goldman Sachs is letting go about 10% of their 47,000 employees across the country. The financial markets are known to do that every now and then to get rid of their they're least productive. But what I'm talking about is here we're starting to and are really hitting the stride in opening up offices. And some people aren't going to want to go back to the office. And it's interesting.
And what people won't?
The
young leftists.
Yes, exactly. Those who want to be victims. And this is going to affect pay scales. It's going to infect the employment and unemployment rates as a reliable factor anymore looking forward. There's all kinds. On the one hand, it's an exciting time to be alive. On the other hand, with this leadership in charge of our nation, there's never been more concerning where our future's
headed. All right, here's something off of Facebook. Mary, talked to a DFW realtor that said clients were not qualifying for loans. Late 80s people owed more on their homes than they were worth. I see that happening again. Isn't that precisely what I just said? Look,
yes,
you do
is.
Not buy a $300,000 home and pay $500,000 for it, because in these days in which we live, it's not going to hold that value.
And that's my point.
Your
too,
house
Lynn.
in the suburbs,
yes,
is worth a hell of a lot of money right now.
Absolutely,
but it's not going to be worth that much in 2 years.
Well, I don't know.
Not even close.
I'll bet you a lunch. It's going to be close.
Well, I'm hungry. I'm hungry now.
It's going to be close, Lynn, because of what I said. Austin is an entirely unique situation in the nation with all these tech companies coming here.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to continue to see population growth. That's a one-off of anywhere else in the nation. If you're up in DFW, that's a great message we just got. Things are going sideways other places around the country, and it's all thanks to the national leadership.
Yeah, well, I think you're I think you've been dating that woman named Rosie Scenario. Austin is getting rapidly into a situation where there's the haves and the have-nots. The haves don't have a problem. It's the have-nots that can't find any place to live.
Mm-hmm.
Talk 1370 is the right choice. 512-643-5483. It's Lynn Woolley and Jim Cardle. Don't worry, folks, because we're coming back.
What is going on with you two?
It's time for Cardle and Woolley's News to Know.
Stay tuned to this station for further news flashes.
Before you go.
And here we go.
All right, one of our great saints of America, George Floyd, was up for a posthumous pardon.
That would be a pardon after death, yes.
That's what that means, yeah.
Okay.
Now, the Texas Board of Pardons and Paroles has unanimously, according to William Melhado in the Texas Tribune, denied a posthumous pardon for George Floyd for a minor 2004 drug conviction in Houston. It comes 11 months after the agency initially recommended a pardon before reversing course and rescinding that recommendation, citing a procedural error. He was arrested by police officer Gerald Goines in Houston in 2004, after he was found to have less than half a gram of crack cocaine. And apparently this police officer has come under some heavy scrutiny.
Well, it's like Austin city officials now telling Austin police not to cite anybody or arrest anybody for having marijuana. It's an unenforced crime.
Well,
it's against the law, and now next thing will be cocaine. You're right. You're talking about events that have happened. They just want to pretend like things didn't happen, deny reality.
Well, I'm not sure that applies to this one. This is where a police officer has been accused of repeatedly lying or making up confidential informants to bolster his word against defendants. However, it is a fairly common knowledge that George Floyd had drugs, took
mm-hmm.
them.
Mm-hmm.
I've read the toxicology report, not
mm-hmm.
recently,
mm-hmm.
but he had fentanyl in his system. You know, I guess I wouldn't mind a pardon for George Floyd if, in this particular specific case, if he didn't do it. But on the other hand, we know a lot about George Floyd.
Yes, we do.
And it's hard for me to believe that he didn't do it.
Of course.
And then, again, it's personal opinion. But I'm just afraid that we're going to take a druggie, a guy who passed counterfeit money, a guy who had, he held a gun to a pregnant woman's belly.
Yeah.
All right, that we're going to end up building statues to this guy, and then I'm going to have to participate in getting ropes and stuff and tearing them down.
In a peaceful protest,
yeah,
yes.
I'd actually like to cancel George Floyd. I think this guy, the situation that happened with him, has divided America to a point where it is absolutely ridiculous. George Floyd was not a good guy. Derek Chauvin did something bad.
He did, the police officer.
But I don't think they charged him with the right crime.
Murder versus manslaughter.
Something like that. He shouldn't have done what he did. Shouldn't have done it to Eric Garner out on Long Island either. But, you know, you've got to put yourself, and I would love to take Beto O'Rourke and put him in the shoes of a police officer and let him make split-second decisions when there's a crisis going on. And I'll bet he'd screw up.
And we're starting to see all those commercials on television for the governor's race. There's going to be more from other candidates as well. Lynn, I'm going to pivot here to this story out of the San Antonio Excuse for News, as I sometimes refer to it. AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, is telling Governor Greg Abbott that he needs to consider retiring.
Call me a radical.
That's a good one. After Governor Abbott tweeted the other day, here's Abbott's tweet. The Biden-Harris administration continues ignoring and denying the historic crisis at our border, which has endangered and overwhelmed Texas communities for 2 years. Not even the border czar, Kamala Harris, has yet to visit the border to see firsthand the policies she has helped implement. And AOC takes that as Governor Abbott saying he doesn't know what to do about the border. She, of course, is from New York, where there are now some Texas illegal immigrants arriving up there. This is fascinating to have a sitting congresswoman from the state of New York, New York City, talking about the governor of Texas. I think it's another level of amateur, inappropriate behavior from a leader of the Democrat Party. It's absolutely fascinating. I think it's confirmation that Greg Abbott's doing the right thing.
Senior Judge Raymond Deary, the special master, now has until November 30 to finish his review of potentially privileged documents. There could be a lot of documents. I wonder if he has a staff. I'm sure he has money to have a staff. Trump will have to pay for all that. But that's going to be very interesting to see what happens, because he's almost got to try to rehabilitate his reputation, because he was one of the Carter Page FISA judges.
Yes, he was. That's going to be
so. We're going to watch that with a great deal of interest, as will CNN, who says the walls are closing in.
And we're going to watch the Queen's coffin here going to burial the final day, Lynn Woolley.
All right. Talk 1370 is the right choice. It's Cardle and Woolley in the morning. Be logical. Remember, you're either an insider
or you're not. Have a great Monday. Talk to you tomorrow morning.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.